Good morning. I'm Mike Pulsifer in New York with Bill Lynch in Atlanta, and this is the CBS World News Roundup. A startling report this morning from the Iranian news agency. After weeks of rejecting it, Iran reportedly has accepted the terms of a United Nations resolution calling for a ceasefire in the long Gulf War with Iraq. More from Dan Raviv in London.
The announcement from Tehran said that Iran informed the UN Secretary General that it's accepting Resolution 598 in the interest of security on the basis of justice. The resolution was passed by the Security Council in July of last year. David Butter of the Middle East Economic Digest says all the major powers, including the U.S. and the Soviet Union, joined forces in the call for a ceasefire.
Care was taken at least to give the Iranians something, which was in particular the reference to an international inquiry to assess the party culpable for starting the war.
Iran used to demand that Iraq be branded the aggressor before there could be a ceasefire. Today's announcement from Iran follows Iraqi victories and last night's speech by the Iraqi dictator, President Saddam Hussein. He said, "We extend our hands for an honorable peace." Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
At the United Nations, Secretary General Perez de Cuellar said Iran's acceptance of the ceasefire is unconditional. He says that will speed up the process of putting it into effect. The 1988 Democratic National Convention begins today as Michael Dukakis and Jesse Jackson continue efforts to work out their differences. The two men are meeting face-to-face this morning. Bill Lynch in Atlanta has a look at that and other aspects of the Democrats' meeting.
Mike, this steam bath of a city is poised for tonight's formal opening of the 1988 Democratic National Convention. What is not in doubt are the nominations of presidential candidate Michael Dukakis and his running mate Lloyd Benson. What does remain unclear this morning is whether they will leave Atlanta Friday leading a unified, energized Democratic Party or one that is split along lines of race and ideology. Former candidate Paul Simon said this morning he's confident Dukakis and Jesse Jackson can come to terms.
I think it's going to get worked out. I can't prescribe a formula here. What Mike has to show throughout the campaign is that he is independent. And he will be. Mike Dukakis is a tough guy. I speak from experience.
Are any items
The quest for party unity continued this morning at a breakfast meeting between Dukakis and Jackson, who is trying to balance the hopes of his constituents and the goal of party unity. Correspondent Judy Muller reports.
Hi. We're here waiting in the Hyatt Regency Hotel, a couple of hundred reporters, for the appearance of one or both of the candidates. We're not even assured that either one will show up. They're still meeting upstairs in the Dukakis suite, and they've been meeting for about an hour and a half, grappling with this question of what does Jesse want, or asked another way, what can Dukakis afford to give?
This morning, Dukakis told CBS News how he will deal with Jackson's continued demand for a major role in his fall campaign and a continuing policy voice. Mike, Atlanta has attracted a vast array of
hundreds of demonstrators in Atlanta waiting to confront a Ku Klux Klan march turned instead on Atlanta police, shouting insults and filling the streets with anger. Police tried to push the mob out of the streets, and the confrontation worsened. Despite angry words and a lot of pushing, no one was arrested. But about 1 mile away, Ku Klux Klan and white supremacist marchers were told that police safety and that their parade permit was canceled. It was bitter news.
They said they could protect them, but they couldn't protect us. We just as got much right as they have.
Later, several white supremacists tried to speak to delegates at the Omni, but counter-demonstrators confronted them and several fistfights broke out. No one was seriously injured. This week, more than two dozen other groups will be demonstrating in Atlanta, but police don't expect another violent confrontation. Peter Van Sant, CBS News, Atlanta.
Controversial Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan was in Atlanta yesterday. He exhorted Jackson not to accept what he called crumbs from Dukakis, working instead for a black agenda drawn up by an alternative party. Farrakhan, calling Jackson our champion, warned him not to become a chump. And party chairman Paul Kirk, who has had that job since 1985, is seeking re-election when the National Committee meets on Friday. Kirk has the blessing of the Dukakis camp, but some Jackson backers on the committee want him replaced. The betting here is that Kirk will stay. I'm Bill Lynch in Atlanta. The World News Roundup continues now with Mike Pulsifer in New York.
The expected Republican presidential nominee is in Wyoming. George Bush is on a fishing vacation, but will return to the campaign trail at midweek. The public today gets its first look at the report by independent counsel James McKay on Attorney General Edwin Meese. McKay has been investigating questions concerning Meese's conduct while serving in several administration positions. As Robert Shackney reports, McKay already has said there is not enough evidence to warrant a criminal indictment of Meese.
McKay is expected to be critical of Meese's efforts in government to help clients of his friend, lawyer E. Bob Wallach. First, in helping win Army contracts for the now bankrupt, scandal-tinged WedTech Corporation, and later in pushing for the controversial Iraqi oil pipeline. McKay will also examine Meese's role in setting telephone company antitrust policy at a time he owned stock in regional phone companies, the so-called Baby Bells. And McKay will report on the $40,000-a-year job given Meese's wife, Ursula, through the help of a realtor who later won a Justice Department contract. Even without criminal charges, these details are likely to be very embarrassing for Meese personally, and certainly they'll reinvigorate the sleaze factor as a potential campaign issue. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
Today is South African black leader Nelson Mandela's 70th birthday. He is celebrating it in prison and without a visit from his family. The government had offered to allow a six-hour visit, but Mandela's wife Winnie said no.
To us, the family, it became quite clear that the so-called act of humanity of giving us a day to visit Mandela in prison, it became quite clear that we were being set up.
South African authorities have beefed up police patrols in an effort to prevent celebrations to mark Mandela's birthday. Mandela was sentenced to life in prison for his role as a leader of the outlawed African National Congress. Four people are dead, six wounded after a man went on a shooting spree early this morning in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Authorities say they don't know what triggered the incident. A suspect later was wounded by police and is now in custody. The Washington Post is reporting the U.S. citizen who's been granted asylum by the Soviets was under investigation for espionage. The Post says Glenn Souther was a Navy photographic specialist who disappeared in 1986, right after the FBI had questioned him. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 16 and three-quarter points, standing now at 21.12 and three-quarters. Big board volume, 21,700,000 shares. It's 10 past the hour.